All right, you guys are lucky this morning. As I told Pines this morning when I started, my wife and I were out to dinner with friends last night, and arbitrarily in conversation, my wife looks over and says, "You're not going to be long-winded tomorrow, are you?" So at 5 o'clock this morning, thanks to her, I got up and took out 5 paragraphs of the message. So it will be brief and will be short. Scripture is short, so to celebrate Guy D being present with us, you might be out before noon, sir. Maybe. You can hold me to it? Okay. So Scripture comes from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Let's see what the Lord has to say to us this morning. And if I say something wrong, forgive me, because I barely can read it. So here we go. "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you," John says. "God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that His word has no place in our hearts." I'm going to read that last passage, verse 10, to you again. "If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that His word has no place in our hearts." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this morning's message is entitled, "How Do You Plead?" In the court of law in America, in the judicial system, there are three common pleas: guilty, not guilty, and no contest. In most criminal cases, the most common plea is not guilty. Even if the person believes they're guilty, they plead not guilty. Very seldom, but sometimes, you hear a guilty plea. Obviously, guilty is admitting to the offense that you're charged with. Not guilty is obviously saying that you did not commit that offense. And no contest is a plea that means neither you agree or you disagree with what you have been charged with or accused of. This morning we have read in Scripture that comes directly from Jesus through the Apostle John. There is a strong contrast between the light in our Christian lives and the darkness in a life given to sin. And I do mean strong contrast. As Christians, we live in Christ's light, and many live in the darkness of sin. It's such a contrast that it's not even polar opposite, it's likely in another universe. That's how far apart we are in this matrix. And what Scripture says is if we live in sin while we claim to be Christian, we not only deceive ourselves, but we are deceiving God. As a Christian, we are required to examine ourselves daily as we live in Christ's light. As Christians, we choose to live in God's light. This choice is for us to do this continually. This continual action of living in Jesus' light forces us to acknowledge our flaws and our shortcomings as the light of Christ reveals it. You see, we live in Christ's light. We walk in the light of Christ. Thus, His light reveals our shortcomings, and thus we must confess them. What I'm sharing with you this morning is I think we all, including myself, fail at doing this. We do not take the time to confess what we do wrong or our shortcomings. We don't take the time to share that enough with God. But as Christians, we do our very best to walk in the light of Christ. So let me ask you a question or two this morning. How far can you walk? Quarter mile? Half mile? Three-quarter mile? Mile? Can you walk 2 miles? 3 miles? How far can you walk? Physically walk. And the reason I ask you that question, and I may repeat it again, the reason I ask you that question this morning is simply because this. How far have you walked in your Christian life thus far? Quarter mile, half mile, mile, 2, 3, 100, 1,000. How far have you walked? I'm an old Western movie fan, and I was watching several old movies, and there was an old common theme to both of those movies. And as I was preparing this message, it clicked. What I noticed in Hollywood's rendition of yesteryear in the time gone by, looking back in American history, we were a nation of people who walked. But now we are a nation dependent upon an automobile. You see, back in the day, horse and buggy day, when we conquered the West, we were a nation that walked everywhere. Even if we lived on the outskirts of town, we walked to work. We walked to the store. We walked to town. We walked to do whatever. We walked to the neighbors. We walked to church. We walked to school. Now we are dependent on an automobile. In fact, in most cases, in our own properties, we will get on a vehicle of some sort, ATV, UTV, and we will drive 100 feet, 200 feet to the next building or access point on our own property. We don't walk. That's a problem, and can be a problem. But I drew a parallel this morning to that movie or those movies, and I ask you this question. We used to be a church of people who walked everywhere with God. But now, what are we? In years past, there was no doubt where our faith and our worship lied in the list of our life's priorities every day. Unfortunately, can we say the same thing this morning? As Christians, can we have a private fellowship with God to the exclusion of others? Can we ignore our Christians' values and our relationships with others and still be a true Christian? In today's scripture, there are three things that enlighten us about our walk in the Christian life. There are these conditions of fellowship with God and man, and they are listed this morning in declarations, perhaps, in scripture. The reason I asked you the question earlier of can we walk as Christians and isolate ourselves from the church, I ask you that because of the modern day problem we continue to see and manage as Christ's followers. We'll get into that in a second. The number one thing I want to talk about is walking in the light of Christ. John's letter was written to Christians in a world where there was a real fear of darkness. Evil was associated with darkness in biblical times. Modern man, with his electric lighting and all of our abilities to light the darkness now, even with our cell phone, we have a hard time understanding how societies were developed around this simple idea of fear of darkness and evil. When night came back then, men slept and watched anxiously with great anxiety of fear and dark. John tells us that God is more than just light, though. There is no darkness. And what he means by that is there is no evil at all in Christ. No darkness at all. In fact, he says, you claim to be the sons of God. Light has enlightened you. Do your actions this morning show this? Let me repeat that. You claim to be the sons of God. Light has enlightened all of you. Do your actions show this? I remember as a young boy, every time we left a room in my house, I would hear these words, turn the lights off. Electricity isn't free. There may be a shortage. I'm thinking, there was never a shortage when I flipped the switch. What are you talking about, Dad? Whatever. Well, in fact, in my study of this lesson, along about the same time frame in my life, there was an energy crisis. And there was a shortage of energy apparently in our nation. And what's ironic is the cities, all the major cities, chose to address that shortage by cutting off their street lamps at night. Almost immediately they changed their practice and their policy because of the crime rate. As soon as they turned the lights off, the crime rate rose immediately. And thus, they had to go back to turning the lights on the streets in our major cities to address the crime that was going on. So yes, there is relative behavior to fear and darkness and evil as it was in biblical times in modern day. As Christians living today, we need to ask ourselves the same question, however. John asked these early Christians, if you remember, I've repeated it, you claim to be the sons of God. Light has enlightened you. Do your actions show this? Friends, if we claim to have fellowship with God who is light, how can we have darkness or evil in our lives? And I address it this way. Some of the deeds we do are not God's light, are they? Some of the things we say don't represent God's life, do they? Some of our attitudes and our words and actions don't reflect God's light, do they? In fact, they're quite dark, aren't they? This morning, Scripture requires us to confess to God our shortcomings and our sins. So on those three questions to you, our statements, our deeds, our actions, our words, do they express God's light? My question to you this morning is, do yours? And then my final question to you is, how do you plead? The second thing I want to talk to you out of Scripture this morning was walk with one another. This is where I remove some of my paragraphs to shorten this message. My point that I try to make with you this morning is our fellowship together, this time that we spend together, this time that we do church picnics and church dinners and all the things we do for each other as Christ's disciples in fellowship of Jesus together is important. John was writing this letter to enlighten Christians. Actually, John uses the word we. We shows that he included himself in the fellowship of those people he wrote the letter to. All Christians are to have fellowship with one another. It is theoretically possible to have fellowship with God and not with man, but it is not practical. And it certainly is not healthy. Many people today say, well, you know, I can read the Bible and stay home, watch the pastor on TV. It's not healthy. It's not practical. It can be done, but it's not good for us. During our Apollo missions to the moon, there was a story following the interviews of the astronauts. In this particular story, the astronaut talked of the feelings of being alone while the other two men were on the surface of the moon. This is what he said. He said it was the worst feeling he had ever had there in darkness of space, being totally alone with no one by his side. It is inconceivable to me, friends, that Christians could voluntarily live in isolation from one another. But this happens all the time in our modern church. Look what happened following COVID. We have simply failed to reunite out of fear. Fear still lingers, yet Scripture tells you not to fear. But yet, it still fears. It lingers. Many times we fail the test of fellowship. We have allowed the modern perspective of the world to separate us from each other. This has caused a major disruption in the well-being of our church as a whole. I can't tell you how much fun in the past that I personally have had in our times of social gathering, our dinners, our picnics, all the things we have done as a church family to whether we raise money or simply get together and enjoy each other's company. When's the last time we've done that? Yet Scripture says this morning it's our responsibility to fellowship with each other. It keeps us reunited. It keeps us energized to share in the love that we have for each other through the love that Christ shares with each one of us. So, this disruption that I speak of the unity of the congregation and the church as a whole, how do you plead? The third thing I want to talk to you is walk in forgiveness. John tells the early Christians that God is a forgiving God. In order to be forgiven by God, the Christian must confess their sin. Before they confess them, they must first admit they have done them. To refuse to admit sin makes God a liar. I'm a big old boy. I can probably handle my own until maybe a few more years out. Depends on how many I have to deal with. But I personally am not going to tell God He's a liar. Thus, I am a man that sins. I have shortcomings, and I confess them this morning to each one of you. I want to read you a story about it was told by Charles Spurgeon, a very well-known Baptist preacher in England, and he used to tell this story, and I thought it was very fitting. It captured, I believe, what John is trying to say in his letter. A certain duke once boarded a galley ship. As he passed the crew of slaves, he asked several of them what their offenses were. These men were chained to the bows of the ship, holding oars, ankles chained to the floor. Arm in arm, they were chained together. This was their incarceration term. Almost every man claimed he was innocent when the Duke asked. They laid the blame on someone else or accused the judge of yielding to bribery. However, out of that massive ship, one young fellow spoke up. He said, "Sir, I deserve to be here. I stole some money. No one is at fault but myself, and I am guilty." Upon hearing this, the Duke seized him up by the shoulder and shouted, "You scoundrel, you! How in the world are you down here? What are you doing here with all these honest men?" He said, "Get out of their company at once." The young man then was taken by the Duke and set free, while the rest were left to tug at the oars and suffer the consequences of their bondage and incarceration. The key to this prisoner's freedom was the admission of his guilt. There's an old saying, and I have repeated it to the, I repeat it now, but I said it to the children this morning. I've said it many times in my career. The truth shall set you free. It is surprising to me how many people today do not feel the need to confess their sins. Also, more astonishing to me is that many people do not believe they commit sin. This is overwhelmingly alarming to me. Scripture teaches us that this morning that not to admit our sins, we're sinful people, but not to admit our sins is calling God a liar. Again, I'm not willing to do that, and I certainly hope you aren't either. You see, there's a hard statement in the English language. In fact, it's the hardest one to verbalize anytime you have to say it. It sounds like this: I am sorry. I am sorry. That statement in and of itself admits guilt. Admits that you were wrong. And it's very difficult for all of us to say. Friends, in this morning's scripture, we are assured that if we confess our sins and are honest, as I spoke with the children this morning, with each other, we will experience the forgiveness and the cleansing that God has provided through the blood shed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are assured. It's a promise. It's His handshake. It's His bond. It's His word. Today's message is quite simple. Confession must precede our forgiveness. It must come first, and we must share it with God. You see, God is light. When we walk in the light to be the fellowship, we are in the fellowship with God when we are in His light. The rule of our lives must be desiring to serve God and strive to follow Him always. In doing so, we must be honest with ourselves and honest with each other. We must fellowship with each other. This walk that I spoke of in the beginning of the message, it is forever. I don't know how far you can walk. No one declared whether you could do a quarter mile, half mile, mile, or 100. But you've been walking all your life. And Jesus has been walking beside you. And I don't know how long our days are, but we will still be walking tomorrow and the next day and the next. But the promise of Jesus is that He will walk with you. And through all of these things, He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are forgiven. Now, here's the question. Are you guilty of walking alone? Are you guilty of walking without forgiving? And are you guilty of separating yourself from your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you walking with one another in your Christian faith? The final question remains, how do you plead? Guilty, not guilty, or no contest? Here's what I will share with you. Unlike the judge who wears a black robe and sits behind the bench, Jesus already knows the answer to the question I just asked you. He already knows it before He asks it. It is time that we confess our shortcomings. It is time that we give up on the fear that exists in our lives and get back together. It is time that we reunite the church. We find ourselves in fellowship. We see our meals and our dinners back together. It is time that these pews and all the chairs in the area are full. It is time to find ourselves back in fellowship with each other. It's time to find ourselves in fellowship with God. And it is time to to admit to our shortcomings and move forward with the forgiveness granted to us by Jesus Christ. This morning I ask you individually, how do you plead? Guilty or not guilty? Amen.